Support for The Leap comes from Glen's Garden Market, a local grocery store, deli, and craft beer bar with stores in DuPont Circle at 20th and S Streets and Shaw at 8th and Florida. Good food from close by.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hi, welcome to The Leap, coming to you live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Gordon. I own a small business, Gordy's Pickle Jar, and one of my favorite things about being a small business owner is talking with and learning from other entrepreneurs. And every Wednesday, I get to have these conversations on air by bringing together small business owners from a wide range of disciplines to share stories, tips, and advice. And on today's show, I'm super excited to chat with Carly Steiner, one of the stars behind Himitsu. At 25, Carly Steiner became co-owner of Himitsu in Washington, D.C. with Chef Kevin Tien, who just got nominated as a rising star chef for this year, semifinalist James Beard mm-hmm. Foundation. So awesome. Welcome, Carly.
Thank you. Welcome to me. Hi.
So before we talk about Himitsu, I wanted to chat with you about the road that got you here.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
So tell us a little bit about.
Great. Yeah. I will. I've never actually done anything else. So I don't have a lot of other skills. So when I was 11, I started working in restaurants. I worked at a place called Havana in Virginia Beach, and I was just there helping out. It was my mother's friend's place. And I just remember looking up at all of the, actually, I remember looking it up at all of the women just working there and being in such awe of them. They just looked like they were having such a fun time. And I think growing up, you are you go through so many different times in your life where people tell you, well, just have fun while you're young, because once you grow up, you're going to be working the 9 to 5 and
all of
and it's over. Yes, exactly. And I'm thinking, God, this can't be me. This is not, you know, and I'm seeing happiness and then I'm not seeing happiness. And I'm like, I choose happiness. And so I found a passion for working in the restaurant industry at a really young age, and I never looked back. When I turned about 17, I went to culinary school at the CIA. I went there for about 4 years. I did an externship stint in San Francisco. So I've seen a couple different of the cities that I could have potentially lived in the United States at least. And then I ended up doing a stage in D.C., and that's what led me here. So when I graduated, I had done nothing but cooked, and I've worked front of house, but I had never bartended. And it's very funny, I very jokingly applied for a position at Mini Bar as the bartender there. And I thought, this will be such a great training for an interview process. And it turns out it was. And then I got the job.
That's so awesome.
It was incredible. So I had no other choice but to move to DC. And I'm so happy that I did. I love this city. It's provided so much for me. And so I was at Mini Bar for 2 years, and I really enjoyed my time there. I learned so much there. And the only reason that I did leave is I wanted to get back out of the United States for a little bit and travel again. So I ended up traveling, came back, and that's when everything started to unfold with what is Himitsu now.
Awesome. So did your partner in Himitsu, Kevin, work for Think Food Group as well?
He did for a short stint, yeah, as well. He worked at OML.
Okay.
We did originally meet at OML, yes.
Cool. And then you, I guess when you got back to the States, you were like brainstorming with him on,
it happened very fast. There was a moment where we reconnected. There was a moment where he, presented an idea to, and it was actually involved more with Union Market. And when that didn't work out for us, we were like, well, hey, do you still want to do this? Or was this just, you know, a one time thought? And we were like, yeah, of course, let's do this. So I ended up finding this space and that I knew was kind of in between and maybe was a potential thing for us, and approached the guy, talked to him. He was like, this is incredible, let's do this. We signed I believe it was 31 days from the day that we signed the contract to when we opened up a restaurant.
So it was awesome. Ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, so do you think like taking the leap to starting your own restaurant was a little bit made a little bit easier by kind of getting like a second generation restaurant, like having
100%. Yes. I say it every day. We are so lucky. We are so blessed to have just walked into a space that was already beautifully designed. We did not have to raise, I mean, that was the big thing for us is I was 25 years old.
Yeah, right.
I did not have a lot of money and still don't, but I was like, you know, I was willing to put everything that I did have
into it,
financially, yeah. Mentally, emotionally, everything. And so was Kevin. And so we ended up being able to do something that we would not have been able to do any other way.
I mean, did you guys have to get outside investors or was it just your own?
We used one like kind of money raising opportunity, which gave us, I think, $20,000, but that was it. And everything else
was that like on a platform or was that like did you guys do like a Kickstarter or something like that?
It's similar to that. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. But it was good. We ended up raising the money we needed and it was a very low budget project. I will say that from the beginning. Now we have since, of course, as soon as every time we've been able to, we've reinvested and made it better and better and better, as much as we could financially.
Like what kind of stuff have you guys been doing?
Little things and big things, I guess. I mean, there was some structural stuff that we were like, okay, we can finally like really
do this,
take care of this. For a while we had just this mix matched silverware and we were like, oh, this is kind of quirky and cool. And then we're like, no, it's actually kind of just, it's just not. And then we could finally afford to get, and these are all things that are really important, but not necessarily indicative of having a really good experience. So, and that's why they weren't the things that we focused on at first. We were like, let's provide incredible service. Let's make people feel at home. Let's make people feel intimate and comfortable. Let's cook good food. Let's make good drinks. Let's serve great wine. And those were very important to us. And I think a lot of people, what I've noticed in small and large businesses, is people get really hung up on these decision-making processes that they don't matter. I mean, they do, but they don't. And you have to really focus on what's important at hand, what you're able to afford and what you're able to provide.
Like, don't sweat the small stuff kind of thing.
Yeah, but sometimes the small stuff is the big stuff. That's when it gets confusing, yeah. You know? Like... Yeah. So, but we eventually did get some nice silverware and we're very proud of it. We're like, look how nice and shiny this is. It's silly, but you know, it means a lot to us.
Yeah. So were you guys like, so when you found the space and it was like turnkey, you were like, this is it. But were you also really happy about the size or were you like,
incredibly happy? Maybe Kevin and I,
so Himitsu is 24 seats for Himitsu the people that don't
24
know.
Seats. Yeah. Yes. And I think, Kevin has to deal with this more than I do. He has more things. Because, you know, Kevin runs everything in the back and I run everything in the front. So he has, you know, he's like, I wish I had a walk-in fridge. But I will say he never complains about it. And he does an incredible job with space management. I mean, anybody, any chef also that walks into that space looks in the back and they're like, how does he do it? And I'm like, I don't know.
Right. I mean, he's putting out some like mind-blowing food. It's so
mind-blowing
delicious.
Food. And people every single day, they ask me that they come in. We get these questions. Oh, is there an upstairs? No. Is there a downstairs? Oh, no, there's not. Was there something in the back? Nope. This is like what you see is everything.
Yeah.
They're like, where's your storage? And I'm like, well, if you where you're sitting, if you pull that out, it's a tiny home.
Yeah.
You know?
So me and my partner just ate there this past weekend and it was really amazing to see. We just kind of were mesmerized by watching, you know, everything go on, but just, you know, from the bartender pulling out a drawer to get a garnish or you know, you guys have the cooler on the back chair, which is for ice.
Yeah, so anybody who cooks would be really more familiar with pulling drawers out in order to get prep. Bartenders are not.
Oh, right.
So which is why it was so funny. Right. And we do have our bartender do that. The whole back space works like a kitchen, including the bar. And so we had to, when we hired the bartender, I actually looked for somebody that I could train from day one with no bartending experience. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, if I hire a bartender, they're going to be like, what is this space? You know? And so it's been tricky. I mean, that's the fun. Like the challenge is the best part and overcoming those challenges.
You guys are doing it. So since you guys opened your door in 2017, Lions have formed out your spot. What, 5 o'clock? Yes. There's a huge line. Yeah. Earlier than that.
It depends. So there's, I love giving these hints out or these little secrets because we want to get as many people in without waiting as much as possible. And I will say at this point, Saturdays are the hardest day to just pop on in and sit down. And that's because we have a couple people that arrive at 3 p.m. and I would say like 1 to 5 people. And then the line quickly becomes 40 to 80 people, sometimes 100 people around, like before 5. And that really starts happening. I'd say 4:15. Like that's when like the crowds come and there's a line. And that's Saturday. That's because the majority of people who don't work able to come Saturday.
So
which
like
makes
pro tip is like Tuesday, Wednesday.
Pro tip.
Five
Tuesday,
o'clock.
Wednesday. If you walk in at 5, you are going to walk in and sit down and eat. And that is almost definite. That is not completely definite, but it's almost definite. And it's funny that I'm saying this now because that has been completely true for the whole entirety of winter. And then yesterday we had a full seating at 5 and I was like, oh no.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
but that just means that you're waiting an hour to an hour and a half for the next seating, which isn't terrible considering there's a lot of great bars across the street to wait at.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
So tomorrow it's going to be like 70 and sunny and
but we do have a
tomorrow.
Patio, so.
So, I mean, you guys have racked up tons of national and local awards, recognitions, nominations, your first James Beard nod, a spot on Bon Appetit's best new restaurant list.
Mm-hmm.
What's the secret? And by the way, I didn't know that Himitsu means
secret
in Japanese, which
yes,
is so,
it does.
So awesome. Yeah. So
there's
I mean,
a story behind that. I can tell you.
Well,
the
do.
Secret. Yeah. The secret is there's a couple real things, but we like to say at Himitsu that the secret's in the sauce. Sauce is boss. Kevin's sauce game is just incredible. I mean,
it really is.
I
started laughing because one time I read an article that was it was pretty much like you being like, you know, to be honest, people were asking you like how you know has Himitsu been so successful,
and
you
70% sauce.
I think you said 80%
sauce,
20% like everything else, and like literally when we ate there, we were like.
Oh,
holy shit. The sauce.
It's 80% sauce. Yeah. No, I mean, and it's a running joke and there's absolute truth in it. The sauce is so good and it is food wise. What keeps people from coming back? I mean, everything is incredible, but the sauce is so good. And that's we really say that all the time. We say sauce is boss. The other things I think that are bringing people back, besides the food, which is incredible, besides the cocktails, which I think are very good. I think the wine program is intriguing and different. There's so many things on the wine list.
And delicious. The glass that you poured me
was so
tasty. I keep on meaning to like text you to be like.
I'll give it to you. It's so good. But I also think that when you enter that space, it allows, energetically, it allows you to feel comfortable. It allows you to feel almost like you're at your friend's house. And you're just hanging out. And it's low key, it's low pressure, but it's elevated service and beverage. And that's rare. It's rare to be able to make that. And I'm not sitting here taking complete credit for that. I'm saying that in the sense that that is our staff. Like, our staff has created a culture there that we stand behind that is so beautiful. And I think you can feel, I'm getting like goosebumps talking about this. Like, you can feel it walking in. And maybe I'm a big believer in energy, and I am.
Yeah,
but,
it's a great,
but I,
great vibes.
But it is. It's buenas ondas. It's great vibes. It's good vibes. It is just you walk in and you feel so happy. You want to be a part of it.
Right.
And
I think,
still feel that way walking
I think
in there every
that's
day.
That's kind of like top down, though. I mean, your energy is pretty great contagious, and you know, I think it makes people smile in general. So
I think it's a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the secrets.
Those are the secrets.
Those are the secrets.
Yeah. Don't forget about the sauce. Come check out that sauce.
So you're a first time restaurant owner.
Yes.
You're killing the game. You guys are just doing wonderful things. What advice or tips would you give someone trying to open a restaurant in DC? Just opening a restaurant in general, and also opening a restaurant in kind of the landscape that...
Such a good question.
The growth landscape that, that DC is experiencing.
So this might not be the exact answer you thought that would come out, but I finding a good partner is actually one of the most important things.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is somebody who enjoys doing the things that you don't enjoy and vice versa. So I'm not a big fan of numbers, and Kevin's really good at that, you know? And he doesn't really like social media, and I'm pretty good at that. So we ended up having that conversation before we made any decisions, and we were like, well, I like doing this, you like doing this, and we found that we were a very good pair. And I think that is so, so important before you do any venture, but especially a restaurant, because you are there every day with each other. I mean, it's, you know,
yeah,
it's your family.
So you knew, you obviously knew early on that Kevin would be great.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, did I know him before? No, I didn't know him very well before. And I think actually that's... I don't know. I mean, maybe that's better. Maybe it's not. Maybe you should be friends first. I don't know. I can't talk about that.
I started a company with my wife.
So. Yeah. I don't know. But I do think just being able to divide and conquer is really important. And then I also think, kind of just touching back to what we were saying earlier, there's so many, you're going to make so many decisions. And so really prioritizing those decisions and deciding what is going to have an impact on your guests that day versus what's not. Is buying new silverware, but then like feeling really uneasy about your bank account, and silverware is maybe not the best example because that didn't cost that much, but, providing like better seats, providing whatever it is, you have to really look at the decision-making process carefully and decide what we've done is, do we need to think about this right now, or should our energy be focused on a different question? And I think a lot of people want to put all of their energy into every question, and there's not time for that. You can't do that. You know, you really have to prioritize. And I think that's something that we did well and why we were able to open fast and provide the best service and food and beverage that we could early on, and then come back and say, okay, let's improve this today.
Right.
And every single day you make something better.
Yeah. I mean, you guys took, I mean, some people I think would find it hard to kind of take the leap to, I mean, you guys, you know, opened or, well, I, you know, it was a little, it was good that it was turnkey for you guys,
yes,
the space and everything. But you guys open a restaurant and have gotten a lot of recognition in a pretty crowded space, which is unusual, right? I mean,
totally unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably helped you guys leaps and bounds.
Yeah. And I think that this, it has a lot to do with, I mean, we're putting out good products.
Yep.
That is important. We've provided not only a energetically positive space, but a comfortable space, a homey space, and also a very safe space. And I think that's important today. I think that's something we could talk about for a long time, but we don't probably have time today, but is making sure that we are providing safe spaces. And I think that's going to draw the right kind of people and boost up the energy as well and boost up everything. And it just makes it better. It makes people want to be there, like
right.
I said. But I think that there's so much potential in that space, and we could have, that's the other thing, is we could have looked at that space and been like, oh, this is just a jumping off point. It's too small. It's too far from city center. It's too, we could have like had that attitude, and we really never did.
No,
I mean, I'm actually, I had to think about that to say those words right now. Like I had to think, like, oh, what are the negatives? We don't really think like that. We're like, wow, we're so lucky to have this space.
Yeah.
We're so excited we're not near city center,
right,
and that, it is more of a neighborhood spot.
I feel like a lot of times people's, like, hesitation, you know, if they want to start a restaurant, is like, oh, how am I going to get the capital investment? Like, how am I going to raise $600, you know, $1,000
sure,
or whatever, $1 million? So
what's the leaping off like question? How do you make that decision? Is that,
yeah, I mean, so that takes a huge weight off your back when you know that you don't have
to. I mean, no, and I'll say this, that even if we did have to raise the money, if it was something that, I mean, we would have done it.
Right.
You know, and I think that it's more just when you do finally commit to that, this is what you want to open a restaurant, you just, you
go
find it.
Yeah.
Find the way, and you, And you end up, but yeah, I think I do. I would argue that anybody who is going to open a restaurant, if it is your first restaurant, you should find more of a turnkey spot. I mean, I think that's smart. I think that's a smart way to do it. I think that
very smart.
You always have to look at your life from like a longer projection. And we were like, well, is this, I mean, yes, of course, this is my passion. This is everything I want. But is it worth, what if it doesn't work? Is it worth going into debt $1 million? No, of course not. That's silly. I mean, that's, and I guess to me, that's just logical, but a lot of people are willing to risk that.
Risk it all, yeah.
And again, we did risk it all in a smart way.
Like, right.
We risked it all. We risked everything we had, which is all. But it was just, a smarter avenue. Yeah.
So I know your numbers isn't your thing, but I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of your guys' like no reservation policy.
Sure.
And,
yeah, those numbers I know.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, basically in order to make the numbers work in a like a smaller space, you can't really have reservations.
You cannot have reservations. And I've seen this, and shout out to Bad Saint for also being a part of this this new trend. And it's not a trend, but this new wave of restaurants in D.C., because and there's a few other spots as well that I really salute and appreciate, because it's, I know being in it that it's hard and that we get a lot of people that are confused about that policy, or they just feel like this is I've had people tell me that it's all kind of like a facade and it's just to make it seem like it's harder, or they're like, this just makes it really hard. I live far away. I can't come in. And I'm like, I totally understand. And I can empathize completely. Like, I totally understand. And it does break my heart when somebody travels a long way and isn't able to get in. But I will say, like, as long as people are willing to wait, we're going to feed them. But the reason that we do it is we have to have people in those seats from the second that we open until we close in that small space in order to make money. And that's, and it's a business. I mean, I think a lot of people sometimes forget that restaurants are businesses. And they think that the hospitality is, because it's a hospitable resource, that money doesn't necessarily matter to the people. But I'm like, this is also our livelihood.
Yeah,
like, this
right,
is how,
right.
And also, and it's
staff
not,
to pay. And
exactly. It's not about Kevin and I mean, I'll say that it's about, we have to pay our staff. We have to pay our bills. It's a business. And so in order to make this business work in this space, and we did agree to this space because we loved it, we have to turn tables and we have to get people in the seats. And then we have to get new people in those seats. As soon as the first the table leaves, we have about, I mean, tops 15 minutes to get people in those seats to make it work.
So having a long line obviously helps that, because you have already people that have.
Exactly.
You know.
So we can make it work. If we need to call somebody else and get them in, we'll do that. And then we'll call the person back again who wasn't able to get there in time. Versus a reservation, you can have tables open for, I mean, an hour. And that's, you're taking
just
a restaurant
the way
that
it's
could
like
potentially,
slot it.
Yeah, exactly. You're taking a restaurant that could have potentially four seatings, for example, and bringing it down to 2.5 to 3 seatings, which is, you're losing a seating. You're
right.
Losing an entire, you're not losing two tables.
How many seatings do you guys have per evening?
I would say Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we can do 3, 3.5, and then Friday, Saturday, 4, 4.5.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, are you guys similar? It's a similar, you guys just introduced brunch, but it's only for like a short time,
no,
or you guys are going to keep it?
We're not going to keep it.
No?
No, I mean, we're definitely testing it out. So I'll never say never. But at this point, we are just seeing how it goes. We're testing out the food items, seeing if there's a market, seeing if our staff is happy doing brunch. I mean, I know that's something we consider that maybe a lot more than our staff is not only, I mean, of course they're our family, but it's more so that Himitsu is our staff. I mean, we're so small that it has to be. And
yeah,
so
and you want to make sure that they have like a work-life balance. And
we
so.
Are, that is our number one mission with Himitsu, is providing a restaurant job with a work-life balance. And that's why we never had Sundays and Mondays open, because we always wanted people to have two consecutive days off, one to have fun and one to kind of go to the bank and get your things done as adults have to do sometimes. But this brunch decision was
like
everyone's,
they were
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's, hey, okay, cool. Yeah. We'll test it out and let's see how everybody's feeling. So.
And how did it go? Did you guys...
I think it went. I think it went well. I mean, I'm always a little maybe too honest for public, but I think it went well. But I think that there was a lot of improvements that we can make, and we know what they are now. And that's, I mean, that's the battle right there. So I think that the second brunch that we do, which will be on Easter, is going to be incredible. And I think that the food that came out, the service and the drinks were good, but I think that we were just like, oh my gosh, we didn't expect it to be so busy, to be really honest. There was a line. There was a line on Sunday morning that started at 9 a.m. And we opened at 11. And so, I mean, there was a few people at 9, but again, like a Saturday kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I bet you like a lot of people have been like, oh, I want to get to Himitsu. And then and this was a time that, to go.
And that's another reason we love doing brunch, because we're giving another opportunity for so many people that can't come normally to come. And I'm like, this is awesome. But every moving piece has to work. So for now, it's just going to be the Easter Sunday and then the Sunday after that.
So, so basically after that, you're going to be like, okay, guys, either like thumbs up or thumbs down on brunch.
Totally. We're going to have an evaluation process with we're going to sit down with our team and be like, what do you think? Like, how's everybody feel? Kevin's going to, I'm sure, think about the food, and I'm going to think about the cocktails, and we're going to think about everything. Yeah. You know? So.
Well, once they have those Bloody Marys with that okra and the hot chili spears,
shout out.
They're not so going to want, you know,
that's fair.
Yeah.
Yep.
So do you have any big plans for like 2018 and beyond, or are you guys just kind of focusing on?
Oh, we're like hyper focusing on Himitsu. Yeah. I mean, I think that I think that's another, I guess, I don't know if it's a tip that I can give yet, if I'm worthy of giving this tip, but I'm going to give it anyway, is really, not opening another space before you're completely ready. And right now, I know I can from the outside, we see the notoriety, we are so appreciative of it, we are excited, but we're in it and we're just head down working, focusing, and I think that that's kind of the way to go for now.
Yeah, just I can't wait to get back there. I honestly can't remember the last time that I had like such a delicious meal, like from start to finish. You know, every dish was just like that's so awesome. Well executed, and the flavors were just like bursting.
Love that.
Yeah. It was
love
just that. Really, really
sauce's
great.
Sauce's boss.
Hey, sauce's boss. So right now there's no plans for like anything other than this Himitsu. Yeah. I was hoping you were like, oh, you know,
here's a secret. No, despite Himitsu being secret, or being the Japanese word for secret, we don't have a lot of secrets.
Do you still do other, like, are you outside of Himitsu? Are you still doing like the consulting for other companies, or are you just totally
every once in a while I do like some small things, just if there's time, and more just kind of passion projects, things that I would be personally excited about, but I would say mostly no. I mean, the
right, I just remember the, just kind of before Himitsu you were consulted for timber, and
like, I did join the Chewfly Imports team, so that's
oh cool.
Yeah, so I've been importing some Bolivian wines and spirits with them, and that's cool. And yeah,
hopefully you get to travel there often.
Well, I did just come back from there and it was lovely, but you can definitely drink the wines and the Chewfly Singani at Rujero Singani at Himitsu, which is good.
Nice.
Yeah.
And where else are you gonna, what, like, where else is that, just for Himitsu?
No, that'll be you're gonna do it other DC.
Yeah. That's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome to chat. I know we're all keeping our eyes on you. So everyone for listening, signing off from the Line Hotel. We'll be back next week with Michelle from Michelle's Granola. Tune in live every Wednesday at noon or anytime on fullserviceradio.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.